got?
What?
Jaw! Who's saving it for a good time?
What is it?
Big Chief. The best.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting,
wafting.
Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube. If you're on the YouTubes today, you can see we're wearing ridiculous costumes. You guys more throwback to your high school days. I'm a Pop-Tart.
This thing's getting a little hot. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to turn the air, turn some air conditioning on. I'm getting a little toasty over here.
I feel like a guy with a neck brace on. I'm always like just turning my whole body when I go to turn and look at the drops page.
What's going on over there?
The old guy from Office Space.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, the jumps to conclusions,
Matt, down there.
He got in his car and got hit by a truck.
That worked out really well for you, didn't it?
Guys, I got enough money now. I can buy that jumps to conclusions, Matt.
Oh, happy Halloween, everybody.
Good morning, YouTube. We love you. Even when you disagree with us or we disagree with you, we still love you. We love you on the Vancouver Ford text line as well at 503-864-6326. Three choo choo before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. Yogi Roth has been moved to 8:30. He's got a kid's classroom Halloween party he has to attend. I can respect that.
Do we think Yogi Roth is dressed up for his kid's Halloween party at school?
Absolutely. Now, what is Yogi Roth dressed up as? Let's each give a guess and then make a poll question on it. My first guess, Yogi Roth, he's a handsome man.
And he is.
He's got a great face, good hair. Yogi Roth is absolutely going as a vampire this morning.
You go vampire, huh?
Yes. He wants to suck your blood.
It'd be great if he walked into school and said that. Yogi Roth, I'm going to go he's doing something with his kid, maybe a combo costume.
Okay.
I'm going to go Yogi Roth Power Ranger.
Power Ranger.
Power Ranger Yogi
Roth. I love
that guess. That's my guess.
Oh. What is Yogi Roth? When you look at Yogi Roth, what is he as a Halloween costume?
I think it's something coordinated with his kids.
So you're in on that too?
Maybe something Harry Potter-ish.
Harry Potter-ish.
I think his kids are into Harry Potter.
Okay. You can vote on that one at Dirt and Sprague. I'll post that in just a second. He'll join us at 8:30. It's interesting watching Big Ten games. He's in Bloomington last week. He's going to Nebraska this weekend. Kind of curious how all that's going for him. I know he loves college football, so he's excited to do the job. But
talk about travel. That's an L.A.-based guy who's got a lot more travel now to do his job than he used to.
He gets called some good games, though.
Yes, he does.
Not this weekend, per se, even though he's going to hype
up. I'd imagine he is in Seattle this weekend.
No, he's at Nebraska.
No.
Oh, he's in Nebraska?
Yeah,
Seattle.
I asked which game. He's at UCLA, Nebraska.
Because the Washington-USC game is also a Big Ten Network game. I just assumed he was going to be on the call that one.
He'd be a good 1-4 at former Pac-12
game.
Thought.
Yeah.
By the way, that's weird, isn't it? Big Ten game in Seattle between USC and Washington.
Year one in the Big Ten. You got a 4:30 kick on the Big Ten Network late in the year.
Happy Halloween, everybody. We'll get to our big pee-pee picks. We only have two picks. We only have Oregon and Washington game this week.
Yeah, just dawned on me that the Cougs are also on a bye.
I feel like they were just on a bye.
Everybody gets two byes. I don't know if they were just on a bye or not, or maybe we just didn't pay attention to their game because they played a nobody.
Their schedule might have been pretty trash.
Outside of the Boise State game, which we got excited for, the Apple Cup, obviously.
San Diego State.
I mean, I ended up watching it because there was a void in my life Saturday night.
Jose State game was fun. That
it was at least
that
entertaining.
Overtime thriller.
We also have, this is the weekend where we, daylight savings time. We're going to fall back on Saturday night.
Oh, I had no idea.
That's our fallback night.
Yep.
There are no late games.
Hmm.
Like, somebody was bringing this up earlier this week.
That actually
makes me
happy.
Of all the weekends, though, to have a late game, wouldn't you want to do it on the one where you can get an extra hour of sleep?
Well, it would have been game seven of the World Series.
Yeah.
Had there been a game seven?
Well, can I ask you guys this question on that, on the fallback? Do you even care about fallback anymore? Because doesn't everything auto-program to the fallback? So, like, you don't have to be as on it with your clock.
I mean, there's legitimately not a game in college football that kicks off after 5 p.m. this weekend.
Good.
The last game of the day is TCU, Baylor, and Colorado State, Nevada. There's a handful of them that
kick
off at 5.
You sound like you're upset by this. I want my Saturday night not consumed by stupid football that I don't need to care about, but I end up watching.
Hard disagree for me. I got nothing else to do, man. Teddy ball game goes down.
How
that's my quiet time. Yeah, well, we'll see if we can pull that one off this weekend. Probably not. Let's be honest here. I want football. Give me football. What else am I going to do Saturday?
Watch a movie.
I don't want to watch a movie.
Watch a television show.
No, I don't want to do any of that. It's
God
football
sakes,
season.
Man.
It's football season. Yeah,
it's almost Thanksgiving.
We get four more weeks of this, and then it's gone forever. It never comes back until next
August. I don't need it past 5 o'clock.
That's all I get. I want more football in my life.
I feel bad. I've neglected my family every weekend. Guys, let's watch a movie. Oh, I can't.
No.
Colorado and Kansas State are on TV.
Well, if you're looking for a movie night, this is your weekend to do a movie night. No games past 5 o'clock Saturday.
When was the last time you had to set your clocks? That whole, like, make sure you set your clock back. When's the last time you had to do that?
I mean, we do. You have to do it, like, with the oven and stuff.
Yeah,
the microwave.
The
There's
oven.
A few things
oh,
around
really?
The house. We got. Yeah, I don't have a... Your oven automatically changes?
I think so.
Really?
I don't confidently tell you yes, but I think yes.
I don't think ovens...
No.
I don't think they... How old is your oven? Do you have a new oven?
It's not that old.
Okay.
I think it's like 2 years old.
Oh, well, maybe you do that. Yeah. Maybe you got new technology.
They put brand new stuff in before we moved in to make
technology
and
stuff.
Yeah, I still got to do that, and then I've got an old-fashioned clock radio as the back.
Like a real old-fashioned.
Real old-fashioned. Oh,
I got a digital one that I think auto
sets
back.
Technology and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that is the phone doesn't need to be reset because it's digital.
Yes.
I had a phone call from a media member this past week, and I won't share who it was, but they called. And I said, hello, because I have them in my phone, so their picture and their name pops up, right?
Right.
I say, hello? And they go, hey, Brandon, it's so-and-so. And I said, I know you're in my phone. And he goes, well, you said hello, and, you know, if I was in your phone, wouldn't you say, hey?
Hey, so-and-so.
Hey, man. So-and-so.
Hey,
and,
dude.
And so, like, I thought it was ridiculous to say, hey, this is so-and-so, and then he made a good counterpoint. I'm like,
if you know who it is.
Yeah, but you just maybe go. I shouldn't say hello. Maybe I should say hello, so-and-so.
I always do that. If somebody's name pops up when they call, I always say, hey, what's up? Or
yeah.
I always have, there's a line there. If I answer a random number, which doesn't happen very often, it's always a hello.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. If I know who's calling, I always give an answer immediately of I know who you are.
But if I call somebody I know, I don't, and I haven't for a very long time said, hey, it's so-and-so, it's Brandon Sprague. I haven't done that in a long time.
No, I haven't done that in a long time either.
So it kind of threw me off.
Like if you called me, you know, it's an immediate answer of, hey, what's up? What do you want?
Hmm.
What's going on?
Yeah, I think the caller ID thing. He also said that his voicemail has his, like he leaves voicemails and he goes, hey, it's so-and-so. You can reach me at 5. I was like, that's kind of pointless too.
I know you called me. I know your number pops
there.
Up.
Yeah.
I know who you are. I got the message. I'll call
but
you back.
We're both of an age where we had to do that once upon a time on the voicemail.
It used to be the way we operated, man.
It was the way we operated. It's a real bummer this Oregon-Michigan game kind of sucks. I know it's like nostalgia for Duck fan about a blowout that was fun years ago, but like the actual game itself is it exciting for you about this matchup?
I mean, it is for me just because you're playing Michigan. I mean, it's Michigan. It's the defending champs. I think there's something to it whether they're good or bad. Anytime you get an opportunity to beat Michigan, it's enjoyable, especially in their own building.
Okay.
And if you can pull away and have this be a recruiting pitch around the country of, hey, Big Ten country, we play the big boy football now. They don't. We're the new team in the Big Ten. There's a lot to it. To me, it's not necessarily about the nostalgia of playing them twice, although those are two very memorable games for Oregon fans historically. It's mostly just about the helmet. It's who you're playing. It's like when you beat the Cowboys, it means something. When you you play the Golden Domers at Notre Dame, that's a significant game, whether they're good or bad, and beating Notre Dame will always mean something to you. There's something to that this weekend of just seeing your team 12:30 on CBS in the Big House at Michigan, those helmets, having a chance to win this game. That's where it draws for me. I don't blame anybody outside of Oregon fandom looking at this saying, I don't really care. Michigan's not a fun team to watch. They can barely throw a forward pass.
Don't
really have a quarterback. They're back to the guy who they benched, who's now like the fourth
time. Orgy'll
be
in there a couple
times. Orgy's going to play a couple times and run. Like, I don't blame anybody for looking at it and saying no, but when I look at the Big Ten, this was the hard part about the conference move that I had. There just weren't a lot of teams that got me juiced up as a fan.
Because we've acknowledged the middle to the bottom of that conference is trash.
It's basically Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin probably deserves that.
Fill in the blank random team.
Nebraska,
right?
For me personally. Right. Like, there's a couple of them, but everybody else does literally nothing for me when we play them. Indiana, Northwestern, Maryland, Rutgers. Go down the list. It does nothing for me when we play them. Mm. So this is one of the games that you're like, hey, we're playing at Michigan. That's kind of cool.
How would you feel about your team's chances playing last year's Michigan team?
I think they could have. I mean, I probably wouldn't
this
pick them to win.
This year's Oregon's team versus last year's Michigan
this year's Oregon team.
Yeah, this team.
I think they'd have a
this
shot.
Oregon team is better than last year's Oregon team.
I would, I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
I think last year's Oregon team was incredibly talented as well.
No, very good.
Washington was just a tough matchup for them. Ironically, I think they would have matched up better last year against Michigan than they would have Washington. I think they were better up front. They just had issues in the secondary.
Yeah.
You needed to be stout up front in order to beat Michigan. I think they could go toe-to-toe with them.
Really?
But run blocking, I think the question would be that defensive line was so dominant. How could you... How would you navigate the line of scrimmage play? But defensively, I think you're strong enough to withstand their push up front with where you're at right now, if you're fully healthy this weekend, which it sounds like they might be.
Yeah, I just, the way Michigan is playing right now, and college football gives us upsets all the time, I'm not overly excited. I will be watching every second of this game, but not overly excited because I largely think the Ducks are going to blow them out.
Yeah. Very well could.
We'll have a little bit more on this. We'll talk with Yogi Roth about that matchup too. Oregon, Michigan. What's the angle for a Yogi Roth, who will be calling a different game, but he will watch that game, I would assume, on a DVR of some sort, or depending on the kickoff of the game he is calling. He'll join us at 8:30. We'll get to our big PP picks at 8:15. We may dive back into college football, may have a little NFL. It's a weird Thursday night game. Yeah, but the Jets are favored.
Why are the Jets favored tonight?
Short week road game.
Yeah.
That's kind of maybe the logic.
Should they be favored against anybody right now?
I would say no, given what they just did to the Patriots, but I've also seen the Texans be really...
They're clunky.
Weird.
They're clunky.
They're a weird team.
I grant you that.
Team
this has horrible game written all over
now.
It.
It does.
Horrible
this has like 13-15 on it.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Just ugly, ugly short week football.
So we'll talk a little bit of NFL coming up. Up next, though, maybe the best game in the era? Maybe? Yeah? Dirt's not happy about it, but I am. Let's
they
talk
look
about
like
that.
Like a basketball team.
They look like a basketball team. We'll talk about it next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here. Kirk Ferentz dreams about punters in the shower. Yes, that's real. Who hasn't?
We all do it from time to time.
You don't rub the soap on your body and think about field position battles?
Pin them deep. Pin them deep.
Yes. We'll get to that today. We got our big PP picks. Yogi Roth at 8:30. Last night, dare I say, the best night in the tanking, rebuilding Blazer era with Scoot Henderson. They beat the Clippers 106-105.
Scoot was awesome last night.
A late night basketball game. I stayed up for the whole thing. I think Swag did too because he was drinking the champagne.
Yeah, he was on a high. Flip it over. Let's see what
we
got.
I didn't have any sound on. I was watching all the post game nonsense from. Yeah.
And Scoot had 14 points, 6 assists. He was 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3.
Yeah, got a shot
going. Two Blazers with double-doubles.
Tamani was 50% from the field and 3. He had 12. He played really good defense on James Harden.
Yeah.
Simons had a good game. He went on a little burst there. He struggled early. And Chris Murray played good defense. Donovan Klingon hit a 3. He shot 1 right before he got subbed out. His final line was 7-6, but he only played 11 minutes. And they win. They're 2-3 now on the year.
Yay!
And I think what people saw, as you mock it, I think what people saw is the idea and blueprint of a potential Blazer team that could be looking to pop, hopefully, in 2 to 3 years.
All of those things are positives, man. You didn't even mention Ryan Rupert, who I thought was really big in moments of that game coming off the bench.
Yeah, he played in the fourth quarter.
He did. Yep. He got a couple of big stops, knocked down a couple of shots. Like, there, not a lot of negatives to point to last night, outside of the outcome of the game.
Does it matter this early?
Yes, it does. They all matter, man. Like, we do this every year.
We have 2 wins.
We do this every year. Okay, we get excited about a little 3-game winning streak. This is so fun. I love watching wins. And then you look up at the end of the season, and you're one ping pong ball short of getting Victor Wembanyama.
I think most people dirt on that. I think what most people would tell you that watch all these games, and they'll follow no matter what, and they're loyal to the soil. I think what they tell you, if they're being honest, is they just want to see this performance. And then, yeah, lose most of the time. It's like the picture-perfect thing that could happen for the team.
Yeah.
The Clippers just kind of suck.
They do suck. I mean, you should be 3-2 right now. You should have won the first game against New Orleans. You should be above 500 right now.
I would agree
Let's
with
just
that.
Just push for the 10 seed at this point. Might as well make a move at the deadline to bolster the roster and go all in.
Well, there's a scenario looming where they don't get Cooper Flagg. Just because you lose all your games doesn't mean you get Cooper Flagg because of the way the lottery system is.
Not a guarantee.
The one bright spot is that if you are slightly better than we think, it's a deep draft. It's not limited to one player. It's not a one player is guaranteed to be great all-time draft. It's a draft with maybe 5, 6, 7 guys in it, two of which are on the same team at Rutgers, though if Scoot's going to play like this, They ain't drafting Dylan Harper. I'm not saying they're going to win 30 games. I'm not saying they're going to win 28 games. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if they only win 18 more the rest of the year. What I'm saying is there's an idea where Kamara, Murray, Scoot, Donovan Klingon, and if you want to throw Repair in there, you get four guys that pop paired with, you know, Denny Avdia, who I haven't thought has been very good this year.
No, he's having a rough start.
Is going to be here for the next 2 to 3 years. There's an idea that those guys pop, adding a good player that we're not talking about in the draft right now may be what is the better thing for them. We don't know if they're going to get Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. Like, all the things from the game, even Avdia last night had a couple, he had a big block late in the game. He grabbed 10 rebounds. Like, he found other ways to impact the game. So eventually his shot, you would assume, is going to start falling. He's just not quite there yet. He's a little rusty, and eventually he'll figure that out. But he found other ways to impact the game. I think my big concern right now is that this was the fear that I had coming into the year and wondering how long this is going to last. Like, your starting lineup coming into the year is not one of the five worst starting lineups in the NBA. Can we all agree on that? It's not even close, I would argue.
It's a little nice lineup.
Their starting lineup to Detroit and to, like, just go through the gamut of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now, your bench is supposed to be where that, you know, causes issues, and that's how you ultimately end up losing games. And yes, you need Simons or Grant to pop most nights in order to have the chance to win. They're going to do that, though. Like, my big fear is, you can laugh at this, all right, we're five games into the season. That's fine. How long does this continue? What is the record and what is the number that they get to before you say, wait, I thought the whole point of this season and this process was to tank and get a top three draft pick. Now, there's no guarantee, again, that you're going to get that.
Well, they're going to lose tomorrow because Oklahoma City's playing them.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
And now they'd be, what, two and four?
You'd be 2-4 at that point.
They're not beating Phoenix at Phoenix.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, I think Phoenix will beat them there.
Okay.
At New Orleans, they could win that
game
again.
New Orleans is terrible.
New Orleans is bad.
New Orleans sucks.
At San Antonio,
San Antonio's off to a horrible start this year.
Yeah, Wimby didn't have a great game yesterday. No. They'll lose at Minnesota.
Okay, I'd love it. All these are guarantees.
They play the Timberwolves three times in a week.
Yeah,
that's
a
weird schedule.
They're at Minnesota, Memphis, Minnesota back-to-back at home.
I just, look, my frustration is that coming into the year, what I wanted was to hand the reins over. Like, I think Scoot Henderson has played good enough early in the season where there's this narrative out there that he's not like he's ready. He's playing good basketball. Give him the reins,
man. He looks the part right now, man.
Let him play 40 minutes a night. Why is he playing 24 minutes a night while an older point guard is standing in his way in the starting lineup? That was my only frustration coming into the year. You want to point to individual stat lines or individual performances from last night? All of that is fine. All of that is great. They're all positives, and I love to see every single one of them.
Yeah.
The ultimate point of this year is to tank and get a top three draft pick.
Yes.
And so when you have these games where you're close and then you end up winning them, there is a bit of a bummer at the end of it for me because I know what the ultimate goal of the season is, and we can laugh about it, but it might end up coming down to a one-game difference. Like, is Detroit going to win 15 games this year?
Is Utah going to win 15 games this year? Detroit has had the worst record in the league in back-to-back years. They haven't secured a top three pick.
That's fine. I still want the best odds in the lottery.
Okay, and look, I certainly understand and would acknowledge. I'm with you here. I want a good player in the draft, too, but I'm also asking you, how important is the growth of the others? Like, we want Cooper Flagg, right? We all basically are saying that capture the flag, and maybe Ace Bailey will be another guy that we're, like, foaming at the mouth for. How important, with what you're bringing up, how important is growth and development of the current young players on the roster to you?
It's massively important. That's why last night was great to see with a loss.
But you can't be, I mean, how do you tell a Scoot Henderson, go out there and now lose?
It's not about telling them to go tank the game. It's the frustration that I have is with the construction of the roster coming into the season and that your starting lineup is not good enough to end up with a top three pick. And eventually, I hope you trade guys.
But isn't this, couldn't you make an argument that this, even though I hear what you're saying, this is with those veterans in a way, because the last two games, look, it hasn't all gone their way. They're 2-3, and I'm not trying to get over my skis. I don't think you're getting over your skis here. I think what I'm saying, though, is with those veterans and what we've seen, couldn't you make an argument this is helping them develop the right way?
Yeah, I don't see a big difference if Scoot Henderson's playing 12 more minutes a night in the starting lineup. I just don't. I think he's showing you that he is taking a step. He's playing great basketball early in the season, sans the opening night of the game, and I want to see what he can do with the reins in his hands running an offense for an entire season.
I'm watching Scoot play, and I'm thinking the entire time that he's in, give him the ball, let him go up.
Yes,
let
get Anfernee Simons up. Out of there. I know who Anfernee Simons is. This is my whole frustration for the year. All of these little individual storylines are great, but as long as this is your starting lineup, you're going to have a puncher's chance in a handful of games.
Yeah.
And we can laugh at that, and some Blazer fans will celebrate that, because we're never going to learn our lesson. We will never learn our lesson of you got to take your medicine in the short term. The people who are advocating for a tank and then celebrating wins are the funniest fans to me. The ultimate goal in a tank is to lose games and end up with a top pick. Like, I just, that, maybe I'm.
But if they're bottom five, is that a problem to you? Like, if they're not in the bottom three for the odds of number one,
I'd prefer in a generational draft like this. Yeah, I want the share of the best odds to get Cooper Flagg. And nothing is a guarantee. I totally understand that. You might end up with a ninth overall pick in the draft.
The Hawks were number one.
I get it. There's not a guarantee, but odds are odds. Numbers are numbers. And I want a higher number than anybody else.
Scoot looks good.
He looks awesome. Now let him play 35, 40 minutes a night and be the starting point guard of this team.
I don't disagree. Agree with you there. I think that's very fair. I'm curious.
He's playing 24 minutes a night, man.
Is that what he's averaging on the year?
I mean, it might be a little bit higher than that. He played 24 minutes last night.
I want to see Shaden with it.
I do too. That's watching the backcourt.
How did you
with Kamari at the three and Klingon at five? Yeah. That's the team that I want to watch play this year.
How about that little lob to Klingon?
Yes.
I think it was in the third or fourth quarter. He just threw it over his head. Donovan just came and just yammed it.
Klingon had an offensive rebound where he caught it, didn't bring the ball, and just
went back
dunked
up
and didn't even have to jump. Remember all the times Nurk used to grab a board and bring the ball down to his waist and then it would get stripped? He's averaging 27 minutes a night so far this season.
Scoot is.
Yeah, 27
Donovan's
minutes
still
a night.
At like the 13 minute a night. He played 11 last night.
11 minutes last night.
Yeah. I would
all
like
of the things
see.
Were awesome to see. Every single one of those things is awesome, and you should be thrilled about those as a Blazer fan. So no, I'm not pooping over everything that happened last night.
It just feels like
I'm just remembering the mission. I'm remembering the big picture, which you have to do throughout the course of an 82-game season.
Would you at least acknowledge this, and then we'll get off the Blazers. I know not everybody's paying attention to the Blazers. I get it. Would you at least acknowledge that early returns, and albeit five games, so it's way too early for this, but this is all we can react to. It's kind of nice to look at a Blazer team that's not two to three guys that are 6'2".
Very nice to have length and athleticism in the rotation.
It's, you know, that's underrated to me.
And
the
center who plays, I know Ayton's having an okay year. That's fine. I'm already ready to move on from him, too. I want Kling Kong all night, every night.
Me, too.
And watching a guy who's a 7-foot-plus guy.
He plays nasty.
Play as a 7-foot-plus
guy.
Is awesome to see.
Donovan Klingon is a nasty boy.
I salivate every time that guy's on the floor.
Yes.
We have not had a big like that in a very long time.
He certainly makes a feel away that I haven't felt. Man, I'm trying to honestly go back because I never felt this way about Nurkic.
Never.
Nurk fever was fun. You didn't feel this way about Prisbilla.
Drew Eubanks was a great local story, but
you didn't feel this way.
He was 6'9".
6'9".
Yeah. Dudley?
Davis? Ratliff?
The Rattler?
Are we going to Sabas?
Sabas. Probably
Sabas.
I think you're going all the way back
to
Sabas.
Do we have a new Sabas?
I think we do. Knocked down a three last night.
Going crazy
he's different. He doesn't handle the ball the way.
Let him.
Arvidas.
Let him handle the rock. Let him run the
Dirt
offense.
Dirt wants to lose more
games.
Yes, let him run
the pick and roll.
He shot a three, and he was getting subbed down. He's like, you know what? Screw you. Yeah, I'm shooting this.
Yeah. I'm only playing 11 minutes a night. I'm going to start taking more shots, man.
Oh, that was fun last night. I hate the Clippers. So also, I don't care if they win that game. They'll lose.
Okay.
They'll lose. Find the joy.
Are you happy
in your life?
I am
Find
happy.
Find the joy.
There's a lot of joy from that game last night. I'm going to remember this. We're going to file this segment away for the end of the year when they end up with the ninth best odds in the lottery.
And
they get
number one pick.
And they get bumped down to 14 in the draft. And we're all like, God, why did we end up with 14? I thought we were supposed to tank. It's like, yeah, remember on Halloween when you celebrated a meaningless win against the Clippers?
That wasn't me. That was the Pop-Tart. Pop-Tarts, they're just happy.
Remember
they're just always happy.
2 years ago, going
us?
Into the All-Star break, they had that little four-game winning streak. This is so much fun. And then
Would
at the end of the year, why did we get Victor Wembanyama? Oh, yeah, that's not how it works, people.
He's such a negative Nelly. The Ducks win. Oh, everybody's amazing. The Ducks are amazing. The Blazers have a little fun. God forbid.
Just lose.
Negative
have
Nelly.
Have all the fun you want.
Here.
Have all the fun you want. Just lose.
Not good to do a show with a happy Pop-Tart. Not good. We have a lot more to get into. We got Yogi Roth. We got some local news. We'll get into some NFL. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
Hey, welcome back in. 7:36. The Pop-Tart went pee in the commercial break. That happened.
I couldn't see what was happening, to be honest with you. It was a feel and hope thing. There's a lot of fabric on this.
Just hope it ends up in the right spot, man.
It's like you have like a leftover pooch in your stomach. You got to kind of lift up. Yeah. I've never experienced that, but I
hold it up. You got to hold it up. Don't let it go.
Yeah.
One hand somewhere.
Pop-Tart and Debbie Downer here. Good morning.
Yeah, welcome back in. Welcome back in. I'm going to end up being right. That's the only thing that keeps me going on this take. I know I'm going to end up being right.
Unless Ace Bailey ends up being our guy and Flag is just like, hey, he's a white guy. Yeah. Turns out, not winning titles.
It's the next Larry Bird, man. What are you talking about?
That's Nemec's take. Nemec's hot take is
Cooper Flag's overrated or a white guy can't do it? Is he anti-white?
Basically, fair. He goes, name the last white guy taken number one that ended up being the franchise guy that won you championships. And I went, well, it's a lot of caveats there, but I think
how many
Kevin
white guys
good.
Have been taken number one overall?
Oh, that's actually a great question.
Who was the last number one overall white guy?
Number one American?
American like white guy.
Larry wasn't number one.
He was not. When was the last number one American white guy?
Sean Bradley? When was he taken?
He was not number one overall, was he? No chance. I don't remember it, but I don't think
Storm
he was.
Mormon. Anyways, his point is that, like, you haven't had a great white player, American-born, since Larry Bird.
Let's see. Sean Bradley was... Hold on. He was the number two overall pick.
Technically
German, but he played at BYU. And Chris Webber was the number one overall pick in that draft. So he's close. It was close call right there.
Timeout on that one, huh?
Called a timeout on that pick. Penny Hardaway went right after Sean Bradley, too. Oopsies. I want to get to this, so... The random story, and save the political comments. This isn't a political story.
But there is a
political angle to it.
Here comes woke dirt.
And I do want to question, why would anybody ever do this?
Okay.
So the election's coming up on Tuesday. We all know that, right? Everybody's out campaigning.
I hadn't heard.
It's coming up Tuesday. former President Obama, was in Pennsylvania campaigning. Mm-hmm. And in his time in Pennsylvania campaigning, some of the members of the Eagles hit him up. I'm assuming, I don't know if this was a campaign thing or like, let's just go have fun and meet up.
I think he's good friends with Lurie.
Jeffrey Lurie.
Jeffrey Lurie is a donator.
And they all went golfing together.
Okay.
So there was this report that came out that Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Jeffrey Lurie, and Obama went to play golf together. It looked like a beautiful day. There's a couple of pictures out there. Look at that. They're all out there golfing in Pennsylvania. After the report came out, Jalen Hurts went and talked to reporters yesterday, and somebody asked him, hey, how was it playing golf with President Obama? And he said that I didn't play golf. And he didn't play golf because it's in his contract that he cannot play golf.
You don't want to tweak the back.
That's the Philadelphia Eagles put that in his contract, and he signed it, that he is not allowed to play golf. So he went and just walked around for the entire 18 holes, hung out with them, but could not swing a golf club.
Yeah, he said it was a fun experience. Now, this begs the question, and by the way, Swag has a update on that. When's the last American white guy taken number one?
Who do we got? Do you find it?
1977, the Milwaukee Bucks selected Kent Benson from Indiana.
Who was 2, 3, and 4 in that draft?
I just have the list of number one overall picks.
Walton was number one, right?
Walton went number one in 74.
Yeah, he was before
77. Doug Collins went number one in 73 to the Sixers. Now, the last, if you want to do Andrew Bogut.
Last international
he
white.
He played at Utah, though.
Yeah, he played at Utah.
Oh, so Kent Benson. Okay, these are the next picks. Otis Birdsong. How can we forget
him? I love Otis Birdsong.
Marcus Johnson, number 3.
Marcus
out of Marquette.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Greg Ballard. Go Ducks.
Go Ducks.
Number Hey-o. 4. Walter Davis. Kenny Carr. Bernard
Kenny
King.
Kenny Carr. That's a flashback name.
Bernard
Kenny
King. Carr.
Jack Sikma, 8.
How
Tom
about
Tom Lagarde.
There?
And Ray Williams. There's your top 10. Cedric Maxwell.
Key 12. To the Bullets.
So
NBA
it's been since
team.
The Blazers won an NBA championship that a white guy from America was taken number one overall.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
We've asked this question, I think, jokingly on different topics, but like, how much would I have to pay to not do something? Turns out it's $200+ million
to
not golf.
To agree to a contract to not swing a golf club.
You would agree to this.
For $200 million?
You
I mean,
already
of course
don't
I would
golf.
For $200 million. Of course
You've
I would.
Lost golf in your life.
I mean, for a short temporary time.
We'll
it
see.
Will be back at some point.
We'll see.
Yeah, kids grow up eventually. They grow up, and they move out of the house. It happens. Look
still,
at Swag. Swag's playing golf 7 times a week now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah. In the summer,
Summer, yeah.
Yeah, not now. We don't play golf in the fall.
Well,
and winter,
Swag's very concerned
bad.
With golf equipment right now, too.
Yes, he is. We'll eventually get there. I just saw that yesterday. I just chuckled of, imagine signing that in your deal and then having this go down where you just have to go walk around and watch other people play golf because it's in your contract that you can't swing a golf club.
That's okay.
Saquon doesn't have that in his deal.
No.
An injury-prone running back doesn't have that in his deal.
Does the team care as much if Saquon gets hurt?
I mean, he's been pretty important to him this year. I would care if he got hurt or not.
No, I agree with that, but you just what is going to win or lose you the games? Ultimately, it's going to be, is Jalen Hurts good or not? And right now, he's playing well. They're playing well. And he's been to a Super Bowl, so they have to protect themselves at all costs. I bet the Giants had wish they thought about this with their dirt bike incident with Madison Bumgarner.
Probably should have. Can't ride dirt bikes. I would say riding a dirt bike a little bit different than playing golf.
Yeah, but I mean, we've tweaked our backs playing golf before.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen often.
I don't think I ever have, actually. I've tweaked my back, but not playing golf.
I've had my back be sore after a round of golf.
Yeah, I swing too hard.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a terrible golfer.
That'd just be, imagine on the outside looking in, just riding around in the cart. Hey, you guys having fun out there? This is cool. Just hanging out, watching you play golf.
Oh, I'd be driving Obama's cart the whole time.
I'd have so many stories. And they largely all start with, so let's talk about aliens.
Let's talk about Area 51. What's going on there? So there you go. Jalen Hurts can't play golf. It's in his contract.
Trying to get some stories from the Secret Service guys.
That'd be pretty cool. They'd have to follow you around the entire time. That'd be pretty badass.
The poll question up, is Donovan Klingon a nasty boy?
Nasty boy.
Oh, yeah. Or not sure yet.
Yes, he is. Do we have Connor Stallions 2.0 in the world of college football? That is next on 1080 The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Yogi Roth coming up at 8:30.
I had a question for you, too, on that Hurts thing. I was thinking about, like, what are they going to do to him if he does golf?
That's the whole thing.
Please stop, Jalen. No, you're fine. They're not going to fine him.
This was the one, at least the owner was playing with him, so probably can't get away with it here. But this happened years ago. Jeff Kent had a thing in his deal because he got hurt riding his motorcycle. And I think it was in his contract that he couldn't ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, remember he got
hurt
washing his truck.
Motorcycles, I don't want my guy riding a motorcycle either. Like,
doing that.
I totally
no
get
jet skis.
I just comparing golf to that. Like,
no skiing, snowboarding.
He's a professional athlete. Yeah. Like, it's one thing for my fat ass to, like, hurt my back swinging too hard.
Sure.
Jalen Hurts is a professional athlete. He's in pretty good shape. I'd imagine his back could withstand that.
Well, he agreed to it.
He did. He signed the deal.
So maybe he doesn't trust
himself?
That
was a big sticking point. And some other Eagle player that got hurt that they were like, we need to have that in there? Did Donovan McNabb have this at one point in his career? I don't know.
What else is in there that he can't do?
I don't know.
It can't just be golf. There's got to be other, like, ice skating.
Bungee jumping, like some things.
Usually, pick up basketball is a big thing.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, one of our Chiefs people once said that Mahomes has that in his deal that he can't play pick up basketball.
Yeah.
Which, again, you could roll an ankle. Like, I think the chances of getting hurt playing basketball are much higher than golf.
I would
think
so.
Plus, you get, who knows where you're doing it if you get in some gym and then some crazy dude think, oh, I'm D-ing up Mahomes.
Yeah, I get to guard Patrick
Mahomes.
Playing
some one-on-one, take him out, he's going up for a layup, I'm going to undercut him or something.
Right.
We will get to our big PP picks at 8:15 coming up in a bit. Do we have Connor Stallions 2.0 on our hands? Did you guys see the story yesterday out of the Big 12 that came out?
Well, I would say that I have... having watched a half of that documentary on Connor Stallions, I would say that Connor Stallions is all over the sport.
A lot of Connor Stallions out there.
It's basically what Connor Stallions told me is like, there's me everywhere in college football.
I just don't know in introducing this to the game this year, how this was allowed to happen.
How nobody thought about this. So the story is basically that they have discovered the coach-to-player in-game helmet communications in college football are occurring on unencrypted frequencies. And what that essentially means is that anybody who knows how to use a scanner and to locate frequencies can find that communication.
It's like Joyride, finding a CB radio. Anybody out there?
you go find your police scanner, right? I'm going to listen to my police scanner. You can find this frequency and listen to it. The Texas Tech athletic director, Kirby Hokut, brought this up with a meeting on Tuesday with athletic directors in the Big 12 after learning that the Texas Tech helmet communications were unencrypted and accessible to anyone with a scanner and knowledge how to locate them. Mm. And he brought this up to everybody. The Big 12 is trying to instruct all of their teams this weekend to send their helmet communications back to some sort of protected, encrypted service to try and figure out if any of this is going on.
It's supposed to go back to the manufacturer, and they're going to do some software update in there or something.
So there's definitely somebody in these these locker rooms or whatever that's like scanning. Like you, I guarantee you this is happening everywhere.
But why does the NFL not have this problem? What is the college not doing that the NFL is doing? You've never heard this story from the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. And you know people want to cheat the NFL.
I don't know if it's a different manufacturer. Like, some schools are more worried about costs than others. I can't imagine these are actually, you know, cheap.
Very odd that the NFL doesn't have this issue, and in year one for college football,
right,
it's like, hey, people are getting into our communication helmets.
What does one of those helmets cost? Like, if you have...
Oh, they're expensive. I think like they got to be
$3,000 or something for one of those.
I think they're pricier than that, which is what took so long for them to do this.
Yeah.
The other thing I've always wanted to do is, every single play in college football now, I want to hear that conversation.
What they're saying to each other?
Like, let's take Dylan Gabriel. He's in Michigan. Let's say it's a 17-14 game, big drive, 3rd and 8. Is Dan Lanning talking first? All right, Dill. Right, we gotta get the first down. Real important. Throw it sticks.
No, Stein in his ear.
And then it's all
and then
Stein.
And then is Stein coming in? All right, Z right, 88, 5 flash, go. And then is Dylan like, all right, what's the check down? And then Stein's coming back. And then Dan's like, we got good defense, right? Like, how is that going before that 15-second cut?
I think
that
it's all the offense.
Never
coordinator.
Ever happen.
I don't think the head coach is
because
ever in
all those
helmet.
Plays are.
Oh, I think if you guys watch these games, you see Dan Lanning while they're on offense talking to somebody.
He's talking to other coaches.
You'll never hear that audio.
I think that's offense.
That's
I don't think he's talking to the quarterback.
You don't think he's in on those conversations?
No, not at all.
Not on offense.
Not on offense, no.
I'm not saying he makes a decision. I just...
No, I think you have
such... What are we feeling here? We running?
I mean, he's talking to the other offensive staff probably about a play call or what they want to do, but when it comes to in-helmet stuff, you have such a small window there that you got to get your play call in and then say, okay, check, look for this, look like... That's all... And then it shuts off at 15 seconds. I don't think he might be jumping into Boss's headset to tell him something on the defensive side of the ball, but on offense, I think those play calls are so convoluted and they give him checks. Check with me at the line of scrimmage. If you get this look, run this play. I think that Will Stein uses up all that time. I'd be shocked if Lanning even ever says anything to Gabriel.
When are they allowed to start talking too? Is it like when the play clock starts?
I think you could start any time after the play's over. Like, you could start a communication right away.
I don't know how that specific technology and protocol works.
You got till 15 seconds.
I don't think he would ever answer that question, but I'd love to know, like, do you chime in the early part, like, good throw, Dylan?
I don't think
I don't know because that communication, I think, is different than all the coaches' headsets that are going on.
Yeah, they're different.
So I think there's only, like...
Only the OC and quarterback have that
There's only, like, one person, I think, that can talk to that helmet at a time.
A couple of weeks ago in the Texas-Georgia game, their communication went down.
Yeah.
They couldn't communicate, and they couldn't figure
it
out.
So they have to shut it down on both sides.
So then they had to go to Texas's side and say, you got to shut down your comms. Mm. You guys can't communicate with one another because Georgia was down, and you can't have one side have the advantage over the other. But whenever that happens to a road team, it raises all sorts of questions about legitimacy. And the NFL has long used encrypted frequencies for this, and basically these college and Power Four conferences thought that's what they were using. And it's been, there was a guy I think that was setting up the game. What game was it? When A&M and Arkansas played earlier this year, while the coordinator was like setting up the comms for the two teams in that stadium, he was the one that realized, wait a minute, these aren't on encrypted frequencies. And that's what made everybody go, wait, what? And it just dawned on them a couple of weeks into the year that anybody could dial this in.
Okay, but now you're making me wonder, because you guys both think Lanning doesn't have any say in these communications, and you're probably right. What is the NFL using? Because I know Andy Reid Patrick Mahomes and everybody else are talking together.
He's still on the coaches' comm. So
yeah,
the
they
one
communicate
where all
the coaches the entire game.
So Stein can say, he can go, hey, I want to go for this fourth down.
Like, if all
it's
the voices go into Gabriel's head.
I think Lanning.
17 different coaches talking to him before the play.
I think it's Lanning and Stein.
I think it's a different frequency setup for the person that's talking
that's how the headsets
to
work.
The helmet.
Yeah.
I think it's everybody. I think it's Lanning, Stein, and that helmet.
It's definitely not everybody.
So you think in the NFL, when they had what's his face? He's at UCLA now. The OC that couldn't get a job. the OC for the Chiefs. Couldn't get a head coaching job forever.
Oh, Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy, yes.
So you think when Bieniemy was quote-unquote calling plays, you don't think Reed and Bieniemy were in Mahomes' helmet?
I'm sure in that case, maybe, because Reed is an offensive head coach who also calls plays and diagrams
so
the game plan.
So they can get two in, but college can't. Why is that?
I mean, I'm not saying that you can't get two in. I just don't think that Dan Lanning talks to Dylan Gabriel before plays.
Well, I don't think he talks to Gabriel, but Stein in the helmet?
He talks.
How we feeling, Dylan?
Yes. Yeah,
how we feeling, Dylan?
Stein talks to him before plays. That definitely happens.
I think they're all in the helmet. Yeah, I think all.
I think Tosh DePoy's in there too. I think Tosh DePoy's saying, "Watch out for a blitzing linebacker."
You know what I would do here?
Drew Mehringer, the tight end coach, is like, "Hey, throw it to the tight end on this play, Dylan."
See, you and your helmet's boring. My helmet's party. We're just in there partying. Hey, it's Jordan James. We're going Ferguson here. We're going Stewart down the field. What are we doing?
This is raising all sorts of eyeballs. Do we have more cheating in college football? It happens everywhere.
We have cheating in football at every level
forever.
All the time.
Forever.
They're all cheaters.
Texas Tech lost to Baylor 59-35 and then lost to TCU the next weekend. And now they're saying, hey, wait a minute here. I think people are cheating. They know our play calls.
Vince McMahon used to wrestle his son Shane when his son was like a teenager. And one time Shane was beating him. This was in the Vince McMahon doc. And Vince famously like hit him with something that was cheating. And Shane goes, hey, you cheated. And Vince goes, yeah, but I won.
I won.
All that Vince McMahon cares about that? You don't think football coaches do?
Yeah, we'll see what kind of cheating Michigan tries to do this weekend. We all know they're known cheaters in the sport of college football. We'll see what kind of shenanigans and what headsets they try and tap into. I bet Sharon Moore is going to be in Dylan Gabriel's headset, too, during this game. He's going to find a way. He's going to have a walkie-talkie over there.
I'm in your head.
I'm in your head.
What if you got 3 seconds?
Dylan!
3 seconds as an opposing coach to just say one thing to the other quarterback.
Trash there.
Keep throwing it to us.
We got some fun with audio to get to in the final hour. Our big people. Picks coming up at 8:15. Yogi Roth at 8:30. It is a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.